Thank you. You may be seated. Living by faith is the way the righteous live if they want to please God. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10 that the righteous shall live by faith, and God is not pleased when someone shrinks back. Now, why would he make a statement like that? I think because God sends strenuous trials into our lives to test our faith. And faith will never grow strong apart from these different trials. Do you shrink back, I ask today, do you shrink back from the tests that God brings into your life? All of us are tested, whether it's an economic problem, a health problem, family problem, a career or job situation. We all face different tests, different difficult times when our faith is tested. And it's not always the enemy who does this. God allows many things to come into our lives because he wants to test and build our faith. He brings tests into us or before us to confront us with making appropriate choices. We see in Moses' life, probably one of the most revered men in all the illustrious history of Israel, who had to weigh the future ramifications of some choices that he was confronted with. And all of us make thousands and thousands of choices every day. And we've got to, sometimes very quickly we've got to make them, some a little bit lengthier, and we've got to consider what is the best choice to make, and what are the ramifications of these choices? I remember as a young boy, of just a young teenager, 13, that's when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, gave him my life. And I was like a lot of teenagers, had no direction, didn't know what I was doing, wayward, pretty dysfunctional. But the first time in my life when I knew Christ, finally had purpose, direction, guidance. Finally had fulfillment in my life. And from that point, I really wanted to make an impact. I really wanted that my life would make a difference in the lives of others. Just a teenager, I had my ups and downs, but fast forward on into college, I studied to go into the business field, ultimately joined one of the large international accounting firms at the time and spent several years with them, and then seemed like a career going forward and blossoming, prospering. And yet, it wasn't long, but God began to stir in my heart something else. And I didn't know what it was at first, but after a few years, I realized God was calling me out of the secular world into vocational ministry. I think a pastor, there's a unique call to be a pastor. I think it's a unique call of God. And ultimately, to make a long story short, I answered God's call, left the business world, and entered ministry, vocationally studied, and for these past 40-plus years, I've been a pastor. And I never would change it. I never would do it differently. I know that I did what God wanted me to do, but you can imagine the ramifications of that decision and the different life I have lived because I answered that call. Well, that's what we face here with Moses today. Moses had to make a decision. He made what many call today a defining decision that really changed the course of his life. And many of us are faced with those kinds of decisions. Sometimes we don't realize it, but all of us have what might be called defining decisions. Some at lower levels, some at higher levels, some minor, some major, but they impact our lives. Four things that I want to talk to you today about how to make your life count. How to make an impact in the lives of others with your life. First of all, God wants each and every one of us to discover our identity. Moses had an identity crisis. He was born a Hebrew slave but he was raised as Pharaoh's grandson. He was born during a time when Pharaoh was trying to eliminate all the baby boys in Israel. Throw them in the river is what he told the midwives, because he wanted to eliminate and punish Israel as a nation. But by faith, his parents did not fear the king. They overcame the fear of man, and they weren't afraid to defy the orders of the monarchy. They put little Moses on a little raft on the Nile River, where Pharaoh's daughter, when she came down there, could find him and take her into her own home. I ask you this morning, are you overly influenced by others in your life? Does what people say and do influence you to a point that you need to follow or do what they do? You see, by faith, Moses ultimately, as he grew up in Pharaoh's house, he overcame the friendship of men. As he was growing up, he learned somehow, some way, perhaps by his mother, who some think was his nanny as he was growing up, he began to realize that God had promised a deliverer for Israel, to deliver them from their slavery and take them to the promised land. And so he had all of these privileges, but he overcame the friendship of men because he was not afraid to refuse the monarchy itself. And he had to make a choice. This young man with all of this privilege, all of these things, all these wonderful things that most of us would want, he had to make a choice between Jewish rejection and humiliation and Egyptian royalty and power. Lived in the palace of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that time, the grandson of the most powerful man who lived at that time. And his faith, as you study this passage, his faith is expressed in five active responses. He refused, he chose, he regarded, he left, he kept. All of those are very active verbs. But he refused the future crown of Egypt. All of the other active responses I just mentioned follow his refusal. You see, refusing the crown meant that he was identifying himself with the suffering and the trials of God's people. Faith always finds the will of God, ladies and gentlemen, and carries it out, regardless of the cost, regardless of the price that you face. If you really keep your eyes focused on God, you got faith in him, you follow him no matter what. And so Moses had an identity crisis, and he made a decision. He refused to live a lie. He insisted on being what God made him to be. And I say to you this morning that God made you, God made me, God made every one of us for a purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us that nobody else on the face of the earth can handle, can accomplish except you. And God wants you to be you. And if you don't be you, who will be? You're a unique person. We're all unique. And God has something special for us. Be who God made you to be and quit trying. Do not try to be like somebody else. Don't just kind of fit in the crowd and just do what everybody tells you to do because of the peer pressure. Be the man, be the woman God calls you to be. Secondly, God wants you to accept responsibility for your life. Take the initiative. Moses took action to go forward. He made a choice. You see, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to be mistreated among the people of Israel rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. God chose Moses as a baby. As he was on that raft, God's providential care, his sovereignty entered in and saved him. Now he came to a point in his life where he had to take responsibility. What am I going to do with my life? Just as I did years and years ago, just as many of you have. What am I going to do with my life? And he chose to do what God wanted him to do. He made a choice. Moses didn't blame others, you see. Like a fork in the road, that put him in the place of a difficult decision. He could have gone this way, he could have gone that way, but he made a decision for God, and his choice was based on what he considered. One hand, there was suffering. There was humiliation. There was all of these difficulties of being a slave. On the other hand, there was royalty, riches, wealth, fame, power. He chose to be mistreated. He regarded disgrace for Jesus greater than all the riches that Egypt could give him. You see, if you want to make an impact with your life, then it's your choice. I came to a similar decision in my life. And I wanted to serve God. I wanted to please him more than I wanted life itself. And you see, if you want to make an impact, then it's your choice. You see, you're as close to God this morning as you want to be. These are critical days for all of us, critical days in our world, critical days for us as individuals. It's a critical time for this church. Much is at stake in these days ahead, as we enter into the last stage of our pastoral search, we get closer and closer to actually searching for a new pastor. And the easy choice, the logical choice, is not always the best choice or the right choice to make. But our choices determine our future. Thousands and thousands of choices a day we make, and we must do our best to make the right choices. The choices this church makes in the days ahead will determine the future, the destiny, and the impact upon the future generation. Very, very important, very critical. So you apply. Moses applied three principles that I think apply to all of us. I can't live off others' spiritual commitment. I can't live off your spiritual maturity. You can't live off of mine. We each must take the responsibility of our walk with God. I'm as close to God as I want to be this morning, and so are you. Secondly, I can't blame others for the direction of my life. I can't blame my environment, and society tells us that things aren't our fault. It's easy to blame others for all the problems in our lives, but we cannot control our circumstances this morning, folks, but we can choose how we respond to our circumstances. Thirdly, no one can ruin my life except me. I am responsible for all the choices that I make in life. Have you taken responsibility for your life today, or are you blaming others or situations or giving excuses for why things are the way they are? Thirdly, God wants us to establish priorities. He wants us to establish priorities. He said he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. He had an eternal perspective. He looked at all that Egypt had, and then he looked at these slaves and all that they did not have, and he chose the slaves. So we, this morning, we must settle what is important. We must seriously consider what we're living for. A lot of people never do this. They're born, they live, they die without ever settling what is important and living their life with a set of priorities. It says here that he regarded. It means that he weighed in the balance. He looked at these things and said, what's important in my life? To do that, we've got to think it through. It's not something that's done quickly. Many, as I said, have never done this. And so they never know what is important or what they're really here in this world to accomplish. We need to establish a value system. If you do not determine what is important in your life and follow those important principles, somebody else is going to do it for you. You'll live by somebody else's value, somebody else's priority, because you don't know what your own are. And with no clarified values, it's easy to so live without rationally thinking about it. So we settle what's important. We reject the world's value system. What's the world's value system? Well, you see it in this passage. Power and prestige. People want that. pleasure, we want to feel good and have fun, or possessions, they want wealth, we want money, we're on that career trip, and just more and more and more. But when you look at Moses' life, he went against the grain. He opposed, his choice opposed this value system. It wasn't logical. Now, why in the world would you choose the humiliation and the slavery of this servile nation over second in the kingdom, maybe the future king of the most powerful nation on the earth? It didn't make sense. But we must realize today, when we say yes to God, we must also say no to the world's value system. If I'm going to tell God that I'm going to do what he wants me to do, I've got to say no to a lot of other things. A lot of people are afraid to do this because they think that it's this stuff out here that brings true happiness. But when you look at it and you understand it, compromise certainly of the Word of God always brings misery. So Moses had another value system, simply this. And this is why he made an impact with his life. He realized that God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. He said, I don't care if I'm popular or not. I want to fulfill God's purpose in my life. He also realized that people are more valuable than pleasure. I have all of this here in Pharaoh's palace, but here this is 1.5 to 2 million people are suffering. What's more important, possessions or people? He thought people was. And then thirdly, God's peace is more valuable than possessions. He wanted the peace of God in his life by doing what God wanted him to do rather than having all the things that this world offered. And this man had an impact on his world, and he changed, literally changed, the destiny of a nation. He saved 1.5 million plus people, led them out of slavery into the place that God had promised them to be hundreds of years before. Moses had an impact. He had an impact. And he gave up, folks, what many spend their lives trying to attain because he had the right priorities. What are your priorities this morning? Do you live by those values that God has laid out for us? Lastly, God wants us to develop persistence. He says there in verse 27 that he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. He had an eternal perspective, an eternal vision, kept his eyes fixed on God. And so God wants us to focus on our goal. A secret of success is persistence. You never give up. And so a secret of success is persistence, and a secret of persistence is vision. He was able to keep on going because he had a vision on who is invisible. Vision draws us on when we want to quit. And refusing to quit allows us to endure. You realize that Moses spent most of his life waiting? For 40 years he waited as he lived and brought up in Pharaoh's palace, struggling with this decision to answer God's call to be the deliverer of Israel. And then we see that he waited another 40 years in the desert. Why? Because he went ahead of God. Instead of answering God's call and following God the way he wanted, he went ahead of God, killed an Egyptian, and then had to flee for his life for 40 years. He dwelt on the other side of the desert. He spent most of his life waiting. Do you get tired of waiting on God? This whole process for us has been a long time. But do you get tired? Certainly we do. Does it make you want to quit waiting? We must be careful not to go out and just do something because we're tired of waiting. And you say, well, you know, I'm older. I'm mature. I'm this. Do you realize Moses was 80 years old when he led Israel out of Egypt? Sometimes we think, well, I'm too old to do this. I'm too old to do that. But God used this man that was 80 years old. One of the great tests of faith is how long can you wait on God? How long will you wait on God? 80 years Moses waited before God used him. So we see, you focus on your goal and then develop God's vision. And in chapter 12, we see a couple of things. Verse 1, that as she read a little while ago, let's run our race with perseverance. And secondly, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. How do we go forward? Run with perseverance. Don't give up. Don't quit. No matter how hard, how difficult it gets, keep on moving forward and keep your eyes not on the circumstances, not on the horizontal relationships, but keep your focus on Jesus. What are you living for this morning? Who are you living for? Somebody said that a self-made man worships his maker. And if you live for yourself, then you've got a pretty small God. How many of these issues that we've talked about this morning have you settled? Identity. Do you know who you really are in Jesus Christ? Responsibility. Have you taken responsibility for your life? Priority. What's really most important in your life? And persistence. Am I willing to wait on God? Are you willing this morning to live by faith? May God be asking you to go down an unusual or uncertain road. Certainly, it's a different road for this church after 30 years having a wonderful pastor. These are all different days. But we must decide, do we want a monument in Egypt or a reward in heaven? The decisions that we, this church, makes the days ahead will determine the rest of our lives, will determine the future of this church, will have an impact on the next generation. We must be right. We must weigh it out. We must do whatever we must do to get it right for God and His glory. Bow your heads with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You'd like someone to pray with you after this morning? The prayer workers will be in the back. You be sure to see one and pray. Maybe you today do not know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never given Him your life. Someone will be willing and able to pray with you at the end of the service as you pray about your own relationship with Jesus. So, Father, we give these moments to you now. I pray that you'll help us. Help us weigh things out. Help us make good decisions. Help us know your will in these days ahead. Important days, crucial days for this church. I pray that we'll make right decisions that you might get all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.